The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to Plan Your Estate Radio with your host, San Jose Estate Planning Attorney Bob Bergman. Bob's been practicing law for over 40 years and is certified by the State Bar of California as a legal specialist in estate planning, trust, and probate law. Bob is here to help you set your house in order with valuable insights you can use today to prepare a better tomorrow for your loved ones. And now your host for Plan Your Estate Radio, Attorney Bob Bergman.
Well, good afternoon, Bay Area. It's good to be back live with you. If you were listening last Monday, you may have noticed that my show was not live. It was a rebroadcast. And literally what happened there, some of you may recall that last weekend we had very heavy storms here throughout the Bay Area. And what seems to always happen when we have heavy rainfall and wind is that at some point the power to my office gets completely knocked out. And this is one of those, you know, you can't make this up kind of things. I was literally seated here at my computer behind my microphone, ready to do the show. I heard the intro music. I heard the narration, and about 10 seconds before I'm supposed to come in, my lights flickered and went out, and we lost power. The whole building lost power. The next building lost power. This whole neighborhood where my office is lost power. And that's literally the second time that my office lost power within 1 week's time. So, needless to say, I was not real happy with that. Fortunately, I was able to contact my engineer and email my engineer from my phone to let him know what had happened, and he was able to pivot and put one of my show from the previous week on last week. But I'm actually live today, unless you're listening to this at some later time than the 26th of February of 2024. I've been back on the air for, well, except for last Monday when I was pre-recorded through no intention of my own. I've been back on the air since the beginning of the year, and I'm looking forward to having a lot more interaction going forward with various people. I'm starting to work with financial advisors, and what I'm offering to financial advisors here in the Bay Area is the ability to come on and be a guest on my podcast, part of the Legacy Leaders Network. And I've already done one interview. If you are a financial advisor here in the Bay Area, and you are interested in exploring being a guest on my financial advisor podcast, email me at rpb@lawbob.com, and we can start a dialogue. Eventually, I will be building out a page on my website to direct everyone to, where they can find out more about just what the podcast is, what's involved, the fact that there is no financial obligation of any kind for being on the podcast. It's not a pay-to-play or anything like that. And those who come on the podcast will actually be able to get a copy of the podcast that they can then repurpose in their own advertising on their own website or to prospective clients or existing clients or others. And the other thing is people joining in on this situation would have the opportunity to have the Legacy Leaders Network newsletter filled with informative articles and other information be distributed freely to their clients and prospective clients and have it be basically branded to whoever the advisor is, with a little note at the bottom saying that I'm sponsoring it. Pretty much that's it. So I'm not asking for money from anybody. I am asking for financial advisors to contact me and see about becoming someone on one of my podcasts. My goal is to try and interview at least 40 financial advisors here in the Bay Area. I may also be adding realtors to that list and interviewing realtors as well, because I believe in people being informed about who they're working with, informed what their background is, informed what they value, to see whether or not their values align with the values that you might want for someone helping you with financial assistance or, like me, helping you with estate planning. Another thing that I'm working on and another initiative I'm getting ready to launch has to do with writing what's called a legacy letter, and it's something I'm going through the process right now, putting together my own legacy letter, providing tons of information to my children ahead of time in the form of a letter so that they can know more about their father, my background, the things that were important to me growing up, the things that I want them to know, that I want them to be aware of, that I want them to consider as they go through their lives, and as a way of letting them know just how much their daddy loves them and admires them and wants nothing but the best for them. As I get that initiative rolled out, I'll be sharing more and more on the show up and coming for those who might be interested in something like that. But I think today, assuming my engineer is ready to field the calls, I'd like to open up my show for at least the rest of this segment, maybe the next segment as well, to anybody who would like to call into the show and ask me a question about estate planning on the air, live. The number is 800-516-1220, 800-516-1220. So if someone misses calling in on the show when I was on the air before and you'd like to call in now, this would be a good time to do that. We have a couple minutes till the first break, so it's probably best to call after we go to the break so that we can get you all teed up and ready for when we come back after the break. But until the break, let me cover a couple of questions and comments from around the state of California. Here's one out of San Francisco. These pair of sisters who are the new co-trustees of a trust, of their deceased sister's trust, they are out of state and they've been having difficulty dealing with the lawyer representing the deceased sister's trust. They said the lawyer's low-tech, has a full voicemail box, doesn't answer emails. Death certificates were sent to the attorney from the original trustee, who had written saying that she declined to be the trustee, which made us the co-trustees. What can we do to extract the trust from this lawyer and move on? Well, the short answer is you communicate with the lawyer formally that you are getting new legal counsel, request that all copies of files be sent to you, and move on. There may be monies that are owing to this attorney. I don't know the answer to that, but that's probably what should be done. So when we come back after the break, if you'd like to call and ask a question, call 800-516-1220 during the upcoming commercial break, and we'll talk to you after the break.
This is Plan Your Estate Radio with San Jose Estate Planning Attorney Bob Bergman on AM 1220 KDOW.
And welcome back to the second segment of our show today. So before the break, I extend an invitation to anyone who wanted to call into the show and ask a question. You can call 800-516-1220 if you'd like to speak with me live on the air. Don't worry. I don't bite, you know, don't have to be nervous about getting on the air. You can give a fictitious first name if you want, or even a fictitious city that you're in. Anyway, that's going to be fine with me. But no one having called in so far, I'm going to continue with some more questions and comments from around the state of California. So here, let's see. Can I be kicked out of a home by one of the owners, even the other owners don't want to? Out of Los Angeles, person said, I've lived with my grandparents in their home my whole life. In their will, they will be leaving their home to all 10 of their children. Currently, one of their daughters is listed as having power of attorney. She plans and threatens to kick me out of the home when and after my grandfather dies because it will be her home, or at least her home with 9 siblings. Can she successfully kick me out even though her siblings, who equally also own the house, are okay with me living in it? Can I do anything to prevent it? Well, this is primarily not an estate planning question. It's a real property landlord-tenant question. I think you'd find that it would be extremely difficult for one owner of a piece of real estate to evict someone from that real estate without the consent of all the other owners at the same time. It's one of the problems with leaving something like a piece of real estate to a bunch of people, is that now you have basically forced them to become partners with each other in that real estate, even if they don't particularly like each other or they don't want to be around each other. You've now kind of made them force them to be co-owners of the property. And that can be a real issue. I mean, this one person could perhaps go to court with what's called a partition action to insist that the property be sold so that the proceeds be divided up between the 10 siblings. So this person can get their share out. But I don't think that unilaterally one owner of the property can force someone out of the property who is living there with the permission of pretty much everybody else who's an owner. And I'm not sure what the purpose of that would be, unless there was just personal animosity against that person. Or maybe the one sibling wants that person to be paying rent, which would be realistic. Paying rent in order to stay in the property it sounds like this grandchild may be the only one living in the property, but it's not clear from the question whether that's the case. So I'm not sure if that would make any difference. If a co-owner is living in the property, they have the right to let someone else live in the property as well, because they have the right to possession like anyone else does. So it's the kind of thing where if I were the grandchild, I'd probably consider just moving so as to not create a crisis in the family. But again, I don't think that the one child has any particular right to order somebody to move from the house without all of the other co-owners aligned to do that. Now, out of Los Angeles, here someone asked the question, said, I just did an amendment to my trust. Do I need a notary? It's an excellent question. I will say that the short answer is, if the trust itself requires that amendments have to be signed, dated, and notarized, then yes. But even then, probably not. The law permits a trust to be amended, assuming it is a revocable, amendable trust, just by an amendment in writing, signed and dated by the person who created the trust. You don't actually have to have it notarized. Now, the better practice is always to have it notarized, because then you have some independent proof that someone actually signed that amendment, as opposed to just, here's a document with a date and a signature on it. How do we know that it wasn't forged? How do we know that the person wasn't compelled to sign it because there was a gun put to their head, all kinds of things like that? If it's notarized, you now have an independent, hopefully independent third party that is signing off on that document, and the person who signed it has provided proof of who they are in the form of a government-issued picture ID. And my practice is always to also take a right thumbprint, even though, strictly speaking, it's not really required for an amendment to a trust. I always take the thumbprint because what that does is provide further proof that the person who signed is the person, assuming that they have their fingerprints recorded somewhere. A thumbprint provides additional evidence that the person that signed is the person that signed because they provided a thumbprint. I think it would be fair to say that someone who is trying to forge a document is not going to be real keen on providing a thumbprint in a notary's journal, leaving behind physical proof that they forged the document. That's why the requirement went into the law for certain documents having to have fingerprints. My practice is to have fingerprints for every document that I notarize, whether it's legally required by law or not. Now, here out of Los Angeles, someone said, a master trust creates a special needs subtrust for a relative, but for personal reasons, I think it would be better if a trust company handles that subtrust, but I want to remain as trustee of the overall trust. Yeah, you could do that, assuming that there's some mechanism for having a trust company actually take over. Otherwise, you'd probably have to petition the court for a trust company to take over as the trustee of that special needs subtrust. Okay, we're coming up on the mid-show break. When we come back, there'll be more Plan Your Estate Radio with your host, estate planning attorney Bob Bergman. So, I'll be back talking with you after the mid-show break.
This is Plan Your Estate Radio with San Jose estate planning attorney Bob Bergman on AM 1220 KDOW.
And welcome back to the show. So I was informed during the break that I have a call from John in Oakland. John, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm on. Yeah.
Well, welcome to the show. Tell me why you have called a lawyer, John.
I have a 401k / IRA. It's in a self-directed account. And what is the best way to pass it on to the kids? Should you put something in the trust, the will, or is that something different?
Well, that opens up a huge topic. And I don't know if you were expecting to hear that. Retirement plans of all kinds are a unique asset when it comes to passing them on. Unlike a bank account or brokerage account or real estate where you can put it into a trust and then give instructions in the trust on how to distribute it, retirement monies have the unique characteristic that unless we're talking about Roth IRAs or Roth 401ks, money has not been paid yet. There hasn't been any taxation yet on the monies that are in those retirement plans, which means if you direct them to be paid to a trust after you've died, oftentimes that will mean that they have to be paid out quickly, anywhere from 5 to 10 years. Currently, because of change in the law, the maximum time that you can have a retirement plan paid out to somebody, unless the person is a disabled child, is 10 years. So sometimes people will name their spouse followed by their children, but then they're looking and they're saying, yeah, but I don't necessarily want my son John to have direct access to those retirement monies because John is not good with money. John will blow it all. He'll probably spend it all and then have a big tax bill waiting for him, and he has no money to pay it because he spent all the money that came out of my retirement plan. So sometimes we do special planning for retirement plan assets involving a special type of trust designed to be the beneficiary of a retirement plan. So instead of the money just being passed straight through to somebody, it can be held and accumulated in the trust and then protected, asset protected from the person's creditors and spouses and business activities, things like that, but can also be used to then be, if someone is not good with money, to have somebody else in charge of it to make distributions out of that trust for the needs of that person. As they appear during life. So like I said, it's a big topic, and I don't have a specific answer, or I don't have a general answer for everyone. It literally is specific to whoever is involved, what they're trying to accomplish, concerns they may have with who's going to receive the monies eventually. A whole host of things go into deciding what is the best way, and the best way for this family may not be the best way for the next family. Is that making sense?
It does, it does. A special trust, would that also have a 10-year window?
Generally, yes. The law changed a few years back. We used to be able to have a trust that would have monies coming out of a retirement plan over the lifetime of a child, for example, which means spreading out the distribution over, could it be 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, which, of course, if money's coming out over that time period, it means the overall taxation is probably a lot lower because you're spreading it out over several years. But that all changed with the SECURE Act that Congress passed, which basically it was Congress's way of saying, you know what? We don't want people to be able to spread out the distribution of their retirement plans for decades. We're going to shorten that. Why? Because we want to get our tax money now. And just Just remember, the government is not your friend when it comes to taxation. that is true pretty much everywhere in the world, everywhere in history. The government is not your friend. And they changed the laws from something that was very desirable to something that basically makes it hard to pass on substantial retirement monies unless it's to a child who is a special needs person. Then they can have it spread out over their lifetime. Pretty much everybody else is limited to 10 years. And then you're like 10 years and you're done. No further investment, no further compounding of the retirement plan over time. After 10 years, it's going to be done.
Same thing would go for real estate in the IRA, right? My IRA, who owns some real estate?
Well, let me address that. Any asset that's in an IRA or a 401k or a SEP IRA or a 403b, all of those assets are cash. It doesn't matter what the underlying asset is. From a tax standpoint, it's cash. You might as well have put dollars in there. So if it's sold and it's distributed out, it's cash. It's not a capital gain. It's just cash. It's treated as ordinary income when it's distributed out. Regardless of the underlying investment, from a tax standpoint, it's like a distribution of interest or dividends. It's 100% regular income, taxed as regular income. And that's kind of a short answer there. I'm not an accountant. I don't do those tax returns. But I know enough about it to know that it's cash.
Will the special trust, you know, if we do put it in a trust, will not be probated, correct?
Well, first of all, any retirement plan that has a living beneficiary, then that means that the retirement plan will go to that living beneficiary and it bypasses probate. Any asset that has a beneficiary on it who's alive when the owner of the asset dies will bypass probate. But that doesn't mean that, oh, well, the planning should be to put beneficiaries on everything, because that has its own set of problems. Just putting beneficiaries on everything, you're making the assumption that the person that you have left as a beneficiary is going to outlive you. And the reality is, not everybody named as a beneficiary on anything will outlive the owner of that asset. That includes children. I've lost cousins in their 40s who died before their parents. I've lost friends who died. One as young as 26 who died before her mother and her sisters, who are all older. So I'm not a big fan of using beneficiary designations as a way to pass on significant assets. And that includes retirement plans. You have to be very careful with retirement plans that you set it up to pass in a proper way and that you have contingencies built in if people don't survive you. Okay, did that answer that for you?
Definitely.
Good. Anything else you'd like to ask?
I do have one more question, though. I own my house and another property. It's in Prop 19 trust. How does the trust, you know, meaning, will it really protect, step up in basis when I die?
Well, you just mentioned Prop 19 and then step-up basis. Those are two completely different concepts, two completely different taxes we're talking about. Prop 19 is real property tax, and
yeah.
Step-up and basis is income tax. So,
yeah, no, I meant,
if you...
sorry about it. It's in a Prop 19 trust.
Okay, meaning a trust that was set up to avoid the effects of Prop 19, set up like 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I cannot definitively answer the question about the step-up in basis without knowing exactly what that Prop 19 trust says. Now, the ones that were prepared, that a colleague of mine prepared 3 years ago, were specifically set up as what we call, they were irrevocable, but they were grantor trusts, which meant they qualified for the step-up in the cost basis when the person died, the person who set up the trust died. But that doesn't mean that every trust set up that way was set up with those kinds of provisions. But generally speaking, if it was set up properly, then there should be a step up in the cost basis for real estate or other assets, actually real estate, put into that special kind of trust set up for the purpose of avoiding the impact of Prop 19. That being said, I'm still waiting to hear whether or not the proposition to repeal that part of Prop 19 gathered enough signatures to go on the ballot in this fall. We can only hope. Well, thank you for calling, John. We're coming up on the next break of the show, and so I'm going to say goodbye now. This is attorney Bob Bergman, host of Plan Your State Radio. Come back for the final segment in a few minutes.
Now, back to Plan Your Estate Radio with attorney Bob Bergman.
And welcome back for the final segment of our show today. Now, one of the things I'm a very big believer in as an attorney, and this goes back to early on in my career, is education. There's a lot of information that people can get out there. And I'll tell you, back before the internet, there was a lot less misinformation out there because it wasn't easy to distribute misinformation. With the internet today, and we're talking about estate planning and wills and trusts and things like that, there's a lot of the, I'm going to pronounce it, GIGO on the internet now. Garbage in, garbage out. And now with the prevalence of AI search engines, and don't even try Google Gemini. From what I've heard, Google Gemini is really not that good. It's kind of dangerous in many ways. But any one of the AI search engines, you can find all kinds of information about trusts and let me just put it this way. There's a lot of garbage information out there. So I'm very big on providing quality information to people, quality information from an expert estate planning attorney, which I am. I'm actually board certified by the State of California Board of Legal Specialization, certified in estate planning, trust, and probate law. I have been board certified now for approaching 13 years. And while that means I'm not necessarily the most knowledgeable estate planning attorney in the history of the world, or at least of California, I'm pretty darn far up there. And one of the things I believe in is education. I believe having an educated client means they're going to better understand and better appreciate why they have chosen the type of estate planning that they've chosen that I have prepared for them. So my whole process as an attorney starts with education. If somebody wants to talk with me about doing an estate plan, I start them first with education. That means I want them to either attend a live living trust seminar, which I don't do very often, or watch one of my on-demand trust webinars that can be accessed through my website at lawbob.com. I have two basic webinars that I offer. One is called Estate Planning for Busy Parents, and it's what it sounds like. It's really for those of us out there that have minor children, myself included. It kind of emphasizes special planning that we do for those with minor children, and also emphasizes the type of planning that I call the castle trust planning, to protect the inheritance of your children for their lifetime. The other webinar I have, which comes in two versions, is the Living Trust webinar, Inheritance Planning for You and Your Family. I say two versions because one of the versions is just the regular webinar, and the other one is the webinar, but with subtitles. Very, very handy if you either have difficulty hearing speech or conversation, or if you're like me, who watches streaming services with the subtitles on, you like that because it makes it easier to follow and also enhances the experience for you. So what I do is I ask that people first go to my website and watch one of my webinars. And the webinars will lay out what estate planning is, why we're doing estate planning, what my process is, and then what the fees are that I charge for various levels of planning. If after that you decide that I'm the right person to do planning for you, there's instructions at the end of the webinar and back on my website where you started for booking a preliminary planning session. And that meeting, a half-hour meeting, up to a half an hour, that's to decide what level of planning you want me to do for you and your family. And then once that is done, and I know what level of planning we're doing, I start the planning process. I put together an engagement letter. I put together worksheets for you, provide those to you to fill out. And then when you're ready, you come back in and with a plan design meeting. We go over the worksheets. And we put together the estate plan for you. It's a collaborative effort. And I want people to put time and thought into planning, hopefully at least as much time that they put in planning a vacation. And going through my process, it's designed to not miss things, to not overlook things. For you engineers out there, it is a flow process. It's my approach as an attorney to making sure that we have a comprehensive plan that covers all the bases. Well, that's pretty much it for the show today. I hope you've enjoyed it, and I'll be looking forward to talking to you again next Monday afternoon. This is estate planning attorney Bob Bergman, host of Plan Your Estate Radio, and I'm hoping you have a great week, Bay Area. Goodbye.
You've been listening to Plan Your Estate Radio with estate planning attorney Bob Bergman. For more information on today's program or to schedule a consultation, visit lawbob.com. L-A-W-B-O-B, lawbob.com. Or call his office in San Jose, 408-247-0444. That's 408-247-0444. And be sure to tune in next week for more Plan Your Estate Radio with attorney Bob Bergman.
Opinions expressed in the preceding program do not necessarily represent the views of the ownership, staff, or management of this station and are for informational purposes only and should not be construed to be legal, financial, or tax advice. Seek appropriate legal advice regarding your particular situation. Attorney Bob Bergman does not offer any guarantees with regard to the outcome of your legal matter. Prior results in other cases do not guarantee a similar outcome in your case. All rights reserved.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn. deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.